Welcome to the Beacon Church Podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
My name's Az, I'm the pastor here. If you are new here, you're welcome. Please come and say hello after. Love to meet you. And just get to know you. You know, hopefully you find a place here at Beacon Church. We love this community. Over the last couple of weeks, we've actually been sort of just refreshing our memory on 2024, just sort of going over what God has taught us this year through the Word. One of the things we love about this church, we talk about worshiping in spirit and truth. Yes, we believe the Holy Spirit, the power of God, but we also believe in the Word of God, being to be God's Word that can actually just set you free. And so I pray that you read your Bible, okay? And what I said at the 8 a.m., I'll say it again to you guys in the 10 a.m. I think what happens is when we get to the end of the year, we can tap out of our faith. Almost go, well, it's the end of the year. I'm having a break from everything. We put Jesus on the shelf and replace him with Elf on the shelf. You know what I mean? And go, okay, now I'm just going to do the Christmas stuff. I'm going to forget about Jesus in this time or maybe just relax in my faith. But I would actually hope that because of the things that we've learned this year, you can apply them in the Christmas season. It'll keep you strong in your faith and literally launch you into 2025 with all the good things that God has for you. And so the first week of this series, I actually went over three things that have been really speaking to me about. God had been speaking to me through the year. And I'm just going to really quickly recap these things. You can go listen to the Beacon podcast and hear the full messages, but I just want to recap them. The first thing I talked about that really stood out to me this year is this idea of seeking the Lord. I sought the Lord and he answered. In fact, it was the very first message of 2024 that I brought that this would be a year that we would seek after God and know that he will answer our prayers when we seek him, including God in all our decision-making. Including God, not just rushing in, but actually saying, God, what would you like? What would you have for my life? Just because it's a good idea doesn't make it a God idea. And what is it that you want for my life in my decision making? What is it that you have for me? And so talked about that. Make sure you keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and include God in your decision making. The second thing I brought the first week was praising God through all circumstances. When things are good, you praise God. When things are not good, praise God. There is a supernatural power that is on praising in hard situations. When you're going through tough times and you praise God, that is a supernatural weapon against hell. And there's something so powerful that we need to do. Just keep on praising God. Keep on just saying, God, you are good. Keep reminding yourself of who God is. And the third thing I talked about in the first week was while we're in the waiting for our miracle, maybe you're waiting for a miracle. Don't just stay stagnant in your faith, waiting. God, where are you? I need you. Be a blessing in the waiting to someone else. Find someone else you can bless with your faith. Go and pray for someone else. Believe for someone else. Go and be generous to someone else. While you're waiting for your financial breakthrough, why not go and bless someone else? You know, this is the sort of place we want to be because God works in that space. He wants us to constantly be on the go with that sort of stuff. Last week, who was here for Josiah's message? What a cracker. Knocked it out of the park. Absolutely loved it. Just loved hearing your story of this year, Josiah. Your vulnerability about what God's been doing in your life. And talked about our calling, you know, that sometimes we think, you know, God has this one call in our life. And what is it, God? What's our purpose? And he talked about the call that we all have on our life. The first one, the call to be holy, to be more like Jesus, no matter our circumstance. The second thing he talked about, which is probably the most discussed conversation I have had ever in a week from a lot of people in our church, those going through stuff, is that we're called to join in his sufferings and suffer well. In our pain, we're called to suffer well. Such an interesting challenge. And everyone went, I don't want that. But the reality is, I'm sure in 2024, each and every one of us has suffered in some kind of way. We go through the motions, the seasons of life, and sometimes that includes pain. So how do we do that well? And then finally told us to eternal perspective. We are just a blip, a breath, a vapor. And that we'd make sure we use this time and our life to bring glory to God, that we would think eternally. So those great messages. And today I just want to continue on as we sort of finally ponder and round out this year and just think about what God has been speaking to us about through so many different series that we've been through. As I said, Christmas kicks off next week. But woohoo, just Bella, okay? So I went to the shops on Friday with Beck for the first time for Christmas. I had some great ambition to buy a lot of presents. Man, I just ended up buying stuff for Stack the Slayer and came home with nothing else. So some kids getting some awesome dinosaur stuff. Anyway, so make sure you get involved with that. But my first point here today is this is what I've discovered through the year. God just needs a few good men and women to see him glorified. He just needs a few of us. And I would hope that each and every one of you would choose to be part of the few. Like we get to choose to be in or out to represent Christ well. He doesn't need everyone, but he needs a few good men and women to represent him, to bring glory to him. And, you know, I was thinking about this church and just the amazing people that we have in this church, you know, that just bring glory to God. I know you do in your workplaces, the way that you deal with life. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, people like Andrew here, sitting here. Andrew, he just serves time and time again, you know. Just never anything's too hard for Andrew. You know, you go, we need to set up the baptism tank. It's the job no one wants to do. He just gets it done, right? I just, yeah, give him a round of applause. We've just got these people. You know, we have these people in our church that just love like nothing else. I mean, think of the Brodericks. You guys, I just, every time I see you on the door, whether it's your serving or just even the way you just do, you just love people. You just shine Jesus everywhere you go. And I know you do that in your workplaces as well. And I go, I want to be like them when I grow up, you know. John and Marion, down at Woolies, I just want everyone to be like you, you know, like, you run into Marion in the shop, you just like go, I could shop here all day, you know? She just shines Jesus everywhere she goes. Keturah, you know, you just bring light everywhere you go, you know? Such a great mum, you know? And I just see you just power on, you know? And I know that Beck's so inspired by you. Beck can't be here this morning, as I said, but she's so inspired by you. We just have these people in our church to just shine. You know, there's nothing too hard. I think of Dean and Michaela, you know? They're the people that just get it done, right? You know, you're going to go, hey, it needs to be done. Like, yep, no worries. And it just gets done. And I go, our church is full of these people. I could literally list off through every person, just go, this person, this person, this person, this person. But what I love is that you've just said yes. A few good men and women that just shine Jesus' light everywhere you go. And I just am so impressed by that. And as I've been sort of pastoring this year, I've just sat back and observed just the goodness of God in this community and the people that have stepped up and stepped in and just got it done and just to bring glory to God. And this year, there's a couple of different people that we see in Scripture that we've talked about that just were individuals like you and I who said yes to the call of God. We looked at the story of Gideon. Remember that? Gideon. Hiding in the threshing floor. And God says, I'm going to use you, mighty man. And he's like, I think you got the wrong guy, all right? And the amazing story where these trumpets are blown and 32,000 men come to Gideon. We now have an army, okay, to take on the enemies. But then God goes, I actually just need a few good men and women, Gideon. I don't need all of these men and women. And he whittles down 32,000 men to 300. And 300 take down the armies, the enemy. And everyone looks back and goes, look what God did. See, God only needs a few good men and women. He doesn't need the 32,000. He just needs men and women that are all in with conviction to go, I'll go all in no matter what, you know? And I also, this year, I look at different stories, not just the story of Gideon. I think of Elijah. We went and looked at the story of Elijah where he calls down fire from heaven to consume the altar with he's taking on the prophets of Baal. You know that story. I was thinking about Elijah. You know, we often think of these heroes in the Bible. And I was reminded once again that these people in the Bible, they're just like you and I. They have access to the same Holy Spirit that we have access to. And the only difference is that they chose to be obedient to the point of death no matter what happened. They live with conviction. For Elijah, he actually saw that his nation was corrupt and he saw that King Ahab and Jezebel had turned their eyes to false gods, to the Baals, the Asherahs, to these gods that were supposed to bring blessing when it came to prosperity, abundance, fertility, and rain. And Elijah said, you're going against God's ways. This is wrong. And he actually, just as a man of God, a righteous man, says, God, may it stop raining in this land. Now they're worshiping the gods of rain. So they'll understand who is really God. And then Elijah runs in to the king Ahab in this book of 1 Kings 18, in verse 17 and 18. And I love that King Ahab, it says, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is it you, you troubler of Israel? The king's like, you're the problem. And Elijah, with such confidence, replies, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you have and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. We know the story that Elijah says, bring all your men together, your 450 prophets. We're going to have a God off. We're going to have a duel. And Elijah, his tenacity is not just to say, I'm going to call down fire. They're in a drought. He says, go and fill up water around the offering. Actually, pour it all over my beast. Make sure it's really wet so it shouldn't be able to burn. And he calls down fire from heaven, brings righteousness back to the nation. He then cries out to God for rain, and rain returns straight away. And we think that this guy's a superhero and he's got something that we don't have. But understand, the scriptures say that he was just a man like you and I. And the reason he had the power to see his prayers answered is he always put God first. In fact, in the scripture, it says in James 5:16, there's the key to seeing our prayers answered. And can I just say this, church, over the Christmas season, if you've been in a place of going, I want to see God move in my life, but maybe something hasn't moved, maybe this is your solution. Maybe this is the answer that's been stopping you from seeing breakthrough. Talks about Elijah in James 5:16, but it says this, before it gets to talking about Elijah, it says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then it talks about Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again that the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its fruit. Understand, it talks about the righteous man. The righteous man's prayers avail much. And prior to that, it says, before you can be righteous, you must repent. A coming back to God, getting our soul, our spirit right with God. And sometimes we miss that. We go, I don't want to repent of anything. We've gone through our entire 2024 and maybe we've been on track with God, but we've had a certain little sin in the background, something that's holding us captive, who's binding us. It's in the dark. No one can see it. And you look like you're a pretty well-functioning Christian. And you're wondering why your prayers aren't being answered, but God might be calling you today to get right with Him and say, repent again. Repent again. You see, repentance for us, I think we can see, is a dirty word that brings about condemnation. But understand, the scriptures say it very clearly here in James. It says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Your healing comes, then you have a clear connection with God. And your prayers availeth much because you're in right standing with God. I've learned that time and time again this year when I've been praying, going, God, why aren't you moving? I've had to actually look back on myself and go, God, what is it you need to remove from my life? What do I need to repent of? What do I need to say sorry for? What do I have to lay down? What pride has got in my heart? How do I need to humble myself again, come before you, God, and realize I am not God? Because, God, I want to see you move on my behalf. I want to be in right standing with you, God. I want to be in right standing with you. I've got to tell you, that leads into this next space. Repentance is a place of humility. It isn't a dirty word. Repentance is a powerful thing that we can do daily. In fact, every day right through to the end of the year, repent each morning. God, what is it in my heart that you can clean up? What is it that can make me more like you, Jesus? How can I be more like you, Jesus? I repent of the sin in my life that holds me captive, stopping me from being able to represent you well. A place of humility. The reality is the opposite to that is pride. A place that says, I don't need repentance. I don't need to say sorry. James 4:5-7 talks about pride and talks about humility. He says this, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. What you got to understand is when you submit yourself and you actually repent, you get to a place where, God, I'm sorry, I need you. That is submitting yourself to God. Submit yourself to God first. And then it says resist the devil. In other words, just resist. Just say, hey, I've got God on my side. Notice what happens when you resist the devil, when you're right standing with God. The devil flees from you. Have you ever thought about that? You actually can have the righteousness of God on you, the clothing of Christ on you. And when the devil sees you, he runs from you. I want you to picture that, because you might be like, I'm always under attack. Mate, if you're in the right standing, man, he can't come near you. And he actually runs from you. The devil can't be near righteousness or be near light. He can't go near it. There's a really powerful lesson in that. Come quickly to a place of repentance. The devil's going to flee from you. Be in submission to God and everything He wants for your life. You know, I've noticed this year, pride destroys everything good in this world. Pride will bring you down from your heights of heights and make you low. We talked about it. We saw it, didn't we? Remember the King Saul, first king of Israel? The people wanted a king. They didn't want to worship God anymore. So God appoints the number one man He sees fit for the job, and He says, I'm going to give you Saul. So God Himself brings a humble man named Saul to be king of Israel, the first king. And in a few chapters' time, in 1 Samuel 15, 10 to 11, he finds God actually speaks like this. It says this, then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and God says this, I regret that I made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Pride destroyed even the things that God put in place. Understand that we have to stay humble. Man, this year I'm like, God, keep me humble. And every day, God, I confess, I repent. Would you bring healing in my life? May I lead well? I don't want to take this year's bitterness into next year. I don't want to take this year's anger into next year. I want to be in a place where, you know what, God has just, He's cleared it, refreshed it, and I'm going to a new year. Who wants that for their year? Like, I mean, this is a decision we need to make. And these are some of the lessons that I've learned. Be quick to repent, it's number two. Number three, in all circumstances, give it to God and be silent. Shut up. Give it to God and be silent. As a person that talks a lot, I find this one hard. As someone who is a verbal communicator, I find this very hard. Understand that, you know, this year, I mean, it's been one of the hardest years in a lot of ways. There's lots of stuff behind the scenes. You don't see a lot of things. And there's been so many moments where I've wanted to defend my honor. You know, I want to just tell people what's right, put them in their place, and I want to speak up. And I believe God has spoken to me time and time and time again. He's like, as I want you to be silent. Let me do it. You know, sometimes our loud voices get in the way of God's work. And we just have to be silent. Powerful scripture in Exodus 12 to 14. Moses has just rescued the Israelites out of Egypt. They're on their way out to the desert. They're on the run. The Egyptians are coming in their pursuit. And it says that the Israelites end up changing their minds on being rescued, okay? Can you imagine? There's 2 million people. They're leaving and then they start grumbling. They start going, actually, I don't want to be free. That's what they say. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, they're talking to Moses, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see you again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Or another version says you only need to be silent. Beacon, can I tell you, this is one of the most powerful scriptures you can embrace and actually use in your life following Jesus. Trusting that God is fighting for you. He is for you, not against you, okay? I remember this scripture was given to me years ago and it actually it's probably one of the most significant scriptures in my life. And this year it came forward again. In my life, just sort of the forefront again, as let me fight for you, just be silent. I'm going to do it. I remember the first time this actually happened to me was years ago. I just started, most of you know, I work in schools and I write a bunch of programs for schools, and intellectual property is a pretty important thing. Back when I started, I didn't understand that. I had no idea. And I'd written a program and I'd been speaking, probably about 10,000 students had seen this program. And I had someone come alongside me who wanted to partner with my program and, you know, wanted to be part of what I was doing. And I just sort of jumped in and signed some paperwork. I was just young and naive in what I was doing. And I remember about 2 months into this partnership, it all turned sour. And the new partner that was with me, I thought was on my side, started claiming, we own you and everything you've written ever. And it was just like, what? And they started threatening that I should sign away my life and everything that I had, almost like, hey, we love your program. It's not yours anymore. It's ours. And I remember in that time, I mean, I was losing sleep at night. I remember Beck And I, as a couple, we were just, it was really, really hard. And maybe you've been through this. I'd never been through this before. Every day I was getting emails threatening, you need to sign this document, you need to sign it over, you need to give this up, we own you, we own this, we own that. And I'm like, God, this is just not right. This is just not right. And I remember just being in this war, and we had mediation sessions, and we had, it was some yelling matches, and I couldn't believe I was in this turmoil, and I found myself losing so much sleep. I actually was so close to signing away what God had set up for my life for the next decade, the last decade of my life. Almost signed it all away, like, I just can't do this anymore, God. And Beck was actually at a conference, and someone was preaching this passage. And she texts it to me, and she goes, I'm in a session, I've just heard this, it says, be silent, the Lord will fight for you. And instead of trying to make things work and trying to argue my way through, I stood back and I kept getting emails every day, legal documents, da 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 da. And I just decided I'm going to be silent. I said, God, you got to fight for me because I know this is my inheritance. I know this is something good that you've given us and it's been trying to be robbed from us. I said, I don't know what to do, God, but you got to do something. About 2 weeks later, I'd actually got a tour. I was going out west with an organization to do some schools all the way throughout west up to Mount Isa. And I got on a minibus with a couple of teachers and a couple of chaplains. And we stopped halfway and this guy jumps on the bus to join us for our trek to Mount Isa. And when he gets on the bus, I was blown away. It was a guy I hadn't seen in like 10 to 15 years. I was trying to do, I think I said 15 last in the 8A, but it was more like 10 years. And I remember saying to this guy, I said, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you in 10 years. What are you doing here? And he explained he was, you know, part of this group and he was, you know, going to go and check out some stuff. And the story was, I hadn't seen him go in 10 years. The last time I'd seen him was at his birthday party, at his 40th birthday party, which I got asked to go and DJ for him. He'd got me to DJ the party because he used to listen to my radio show, loved all my music from my radio show. He said, I want all that played at my 40th. So can you come and DJ? And he paid me a significant amount of money. It was a great cash job. And as a young guy, I was like, only about 20 years old. I was like, this is great. And I remember I literally didn't even own the music, but I just went and burnt all of these CDs, you know, when you just burn music. So I had all these burnt CDs of this music from my show. And I rocked up. And he had a proper DJ desk and everything. And I'm like, I'm just going to go, we're going to play. Like, I'm not a DJ, you know. And I'm playing these burnt CDs, these illegal burnt CDs. And I'm getting paid a really good amount of money. And I remember saying to this guy, because I'd never met him before, I said, mate, what do all you guys do? Like, they're all very, you know, to do. And he goes, oh, we're all lawyers. And I said, oh, what sort of law? He goes, copyright law. We could play, you know. I'm thinking, I'm going to jail, right? And I jokingly said, I won't talk about the burnt CDs. He goes, we turned a blind eye, you know. And I remember this moment and I was just laughing. I was thinking, of all the things, they're all into copyright law. And so this guy gets on the bus and I kind of remembered that. And I said, oh, and we were laughing about his birthday. And I said, what sort of law was it you guys were in? He goes, copywriting. And he goes, actually, IP, intellectual property, is my specialty. And I said, hey, I've got a situation. I think I'm in the right. I've got all the paperwork. I've got all the documents, but I'm just out of my depth right now. I'm being threatened. Would you mind reading it? And he said, I'd love to. We've got another 6 hours ahead of us or whatever it was to Mount Isa. And so he read every document and probably about an hour in, he goes, as they don't have a leg to stand on, they're trying to, you know, take everything from you. He said, by the time we get to Mount Isa, I'm going to get trademarks on everything you own. Done. It would have cost me like $3,000. He just does it on this minibus. He goes, I want to help you. He goes, because as I can see your heart's right, he gets it all done. By the time I got to Mount Isa, I called Beck and I said, the Lord has fought for us. We own everything we have. That guy's like, never tell anyone about this, Az. So for today, his name is Rumpelstiltskin. Hey, when you go into Christmas, you might be right about something, but is it worth the fight? Like when you go into Christmas lunch, you might have political differences. You might have an opinion and you might have your righteous thought processes, but is it worth the fight to bring about destruction? It says in the scripture that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. maybe this season, instead of being the loud voice that's just annoying and everyone goes, oh, they're the annoying Christian in the family, maybe you could go in with love and actually go, Lord, I know you fight for me anyway. I'm just going to be silent. God can do way more when we don't get in the way. Yes, pray loud prayers behind the scenes and don't stop praying, but understand that sometimes we just have to step back and shut our mouths and allow God to do what he needs to do. This year, that has happened time and time again to me. Psalm 37, 6 to 8, it says this, he will vindicate you in broad daylight and publicly defend your just cause. Wait patiently for the Lord. Wait confidently for him. Do not fret over the apparent success of a sinner, a man who carries out wicked schemes. Do not be angry and frustrated. Do not fret. It only leads to trouble. Give it to God and be silent. Maybe you just need to hear that today as you go into this Christmas season. Sometimes when we are silent, we feel alone, we feel like we're the victim. But understand this, when you know Jesus, we can stand on the Word of God. We know what the Word of God says. Romans 8, 37 to 39. Knowing all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is there anything more you need this Christmas? No. We just need Jesus. And you cannot be separated from his love. Finally, I just want to challenge us all in this season of rushing and busyness and almost a time where we can make some really dumb decisions to slow down and not make decisions in your tired mess. It's interesting. I think there's a new TV ads in regards to driving. It's like, do not trust your tired self. Well, how powerful is that? Don't trust your tired self, church. When you're tired, don't make life-changing decisions. Don't make decisions that are going to impact future you that you don't want now. Like, seriously, you're tired. What you need to do is get refreshed. Remember Elijah when he called down fire from heaven? He destroys all the evil. He brings back the rain. God moves. He's just had his greatest day of leadership ever. And then very next day, Jezebel puts out a message that says, you're going to be dead in 24 hours. I'm going to kill you. Elijah goes into a panic. He runs away. He finds himself laying on the ground, crying out to God, kill me. I wish I was dead. Suicidal. Because he's exhausted. He's just done great things, but he's exhausted. What happens? He goes to sleep. He's woken up by an angel. And the angel says, drink some water and eat some food. He does it and then goes back to sleep. Wakes up again. The angel's like, drink some more, eat some more. You're going to need it for the journey ahead. In other words, there's more to come. But before you can do the next, before you can do the 2025, you need to get refreshed. It's amazing we have some of the spiritual things in the whole world. If you're hangry, eat some food. If you're tired, have a sleep. Don't rush into decision-making without doing those things. You know, what a powerful time in the prayer room. 24/7, there's going to be a prayer room. Go and get refreshed there. We're opening up. Go have an hour with God. Give it to him and be silent. For now, God, what do you want me to do? Refresh me. Have a sleep. Set the alarm so the next guy can get in, right? Sleep in his presence. Truthfully, it works. One of my greatest heroes, Andy Gulow, Mr. Red Frogs himself, years ago, was talking to me about when you're tired, you need to get refreshed in God. And he said to me over at City Point Campus, he said, as this is a long time ago, I don't know if he denied or not, if you talk to him now, but he told me this. He goes, as sometimes I'm so tired, I just go in that church and I fall asleep on the floor in the dark section. I have a sleep. I go, while they're preaching. Yeah, I have a sleep. Best place to sleep. That's not for you guys to do here, but anyway. But I remember seeing him there years ago. One day he did. He walked up, he went down and he just put his head on the ground. I thought, gee, lucky he's not a snorer, you know, like. But he just get refreshed. Have a sleep. Have a sleep this afternoon. Don't go making big decisions for next year until you get refreshed. It's the most spiritual thing you can do sometimes. You know, these are the things I've learned from this year. And I hope they can help you in this season for Christmas. I hope that you can take away these sort of basic ideas. You know, God only needs a few good men and women. Be obedient and say, I want to be one of them. He'll use you. Learn to repent quickly. Get your life right with God so then your prayers will be answered. You'll be effective in your faith. If you're going through something, give it to God. Be silent. He wants to fight for you. And finally, don't make decisions without getting refreshed. Find Jesus in the Christmas season, yeah? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this church. God, I thank you that you show us in your word how to do life well. God, thank you for teaching me as a leader this year so many things, time and time again, through your word. You know, really the number one thing in all of this is to be right with Jesus. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to turning our life around and following him. Repent that you can be saved. Turn your life around. Have a heartbroken heart towards your sin and decide to follow Jesus. Maybe that's you here today. You've never given your heart to God. You know that you're not right with God, but you need to get right with God. You need to clean things up. You need to wash yourself clean. Have a shower in the Spirit of God so you can take on what God has ahead of you. You just want to come back to Jesus today and you want to give him a fresh start. You want a fresh start and you want him to do that in your life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand wherever you are. He wants to give you a fresh start. Yeah, right at the back. I see both the hands. I love that. I love that. God loves you. He's giving you a fresh start today. You say, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've made of it. I want to follow you. That's all you need to pray. Is there anyone else here today? He's like, I'm getting my life right before we go into this Christmas. I'm getting my life right with God. I want to make sure that I'm refreshed in my spirit. I want to be right. Is there anyone else here? Well, God, I thank you for our church. I thank you for this individual who said, Jesus, I need you. God, I pray that you meet her in her situation. God, you will wash her clean. Give her a fresh start. Show her your love. Show her which way to go. Give her clarity in life. Bless her in this Christmas season. And God, for the rest of us, may we go out. May we represent you well in the Redlands. May we use your wisdom through this season in Jesus.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.